Today on Real Life Radio.
When difficulties come in the life of the believer, we see the power of God comfort our hearts, the word of God comfort our soul. And faith is expelled, or I should say faith is infused, and doubt is pushed away.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Part 1. You know, the Gospel of Luke really sheds light on both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, a physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 7, we see how every one of us struggles with doubt. You see, as humans, no matter what we've seen and heard, doubt comes naturally to us. But if left unchecked, well, doubt will turn into unbelief in our lives. Doubt, when it remains in our hearts or increases, will eventually leave little room for faith. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we take our eyes off of Jesus, doubt will creep in and take charge of our thoughts. But you know what? We were not designed to doubt. We were created for fellowship with God, to walk with Him, and to be strengthened and supported by Him. Now, in his message called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm going to say something. I have no agenda. I'm not grinding some axe on some wheel. I'm just going to say it because it's true in my life. And because it's true in my life, I'm going to share it with you, and maybe it's true in your life. God is constantly, and has for the last 30 years almost, 30 years in my life as a Christian, constantly telling me, Jack, put down that book and pick up my Bible. I can be reading a great Christian book, and God will say, put it down. When I'm going, oh my goodness, oh great, oh wow, I love this book, you know, by John Wolverett or by whoever. When I get too excited about the book, man, this is great stuff. Where's my highlighter? Oh boy, God will always say, Jack, put down that book and pick up my book. You say, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. I'll be listening to a great Christian CD. I'll be singing in my car alone at the top of my lungs. Okay? And I'll hear the Lord say, turn it off and talk to me. I'll take a walk in the morning, and I'm walking through where I live on a walk. And the Lord will say, think about me. Now, I don't mean he says it and I hear the tree start shaking. Jack, think of me. I don't hear that. It's a pulse in my heart. It's in my head. Jack, think of me. Yes, Lord. And I have to fight to not wander back to what I want to do. And what I want to do can even be a good thing to do, but it's not the important thing to do. We wander from God. Sadly, tragically, it's natural. But listen, don't tell me you have a temper because you're Irish. Irish are sinners, just like I have a lot of Portuguese blood in me, and we have tempers. We have tempers. Okay, well, you know, that's you guys. I'm this way. I'm stubborn. I'm German. I have some German blood in me too. You think God says, you know what, you guys, I really want you guys to stop being stubborn and be soft and tender toward me, but these guys over here, they don't have to because they're Germans. God doesn't think like that. That doesn't count. He doesn't say, well, you know what, you get a pass because you're Puerto Rican and you're hot-blooded. And you're, you know? No. These things that we have go on in our lives, we can say, well, you know, everybody doubts. Yes, everybody doubts, but listen, to doubt God is a sin. It's not trust Him. It's to accuse Him of something that's not true. Listen to this, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to these two men that are making inquiry for John, go tell John the things that you've seen and heard. Why did He say that? Because when these two inquirers came, it appears in the scripture here in Luke 7 that Jesus did this flurry of miracles. It's almost like a tornado happened. It formed right over where he was standing. And he's just raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind. And wham! Now, look, you two guys, go tell John the things that you... And this is code talk. This is insider information. Jesus says, go tell John the things that you see and hear. That's supposed to mean something to John. If we were doing a deep Bible study here, we would ask the question, why would that be significant? Why would it be important? Why is that the answer to John's question? Because John's asking a very important question. Jesus, are you the Messiah of the world? Are you he? Or do we look for someone else? Are you like a forerunner of the Messiah? Jesus, I'm having doubts. You guys have to remember, was not John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit inside the womb before he was even born? Was he not a prophet of God from birth? Is not Jesus himself even saying there's been none greater in all the history of man born of women than John? He's the greatest of all prophets. That's a tall statement. Jesus says John is greater than Jeremiah. What made him greater? His character? It certainly wasn't his clothes or his hairdo. What made him greater? It was his ministry. The others, not to put them down at all, by no means. They're holy, wonderful men used by God. They announced certain things, but it was given to John to introduce the Messiah to the world, literally. By his office, he was the greatest. By his office, Bible students, he was the last prophet on earth of the Old Testament. John was the final one. The New Testament was about to be born. So Jesus says, go tell him the things that you've seen and heard. And here it is. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor of the gospel preach to them. This is the code. There's over 300 verses, so it's right small. Okay, I'm kidding. I'll give you 3 out of the 300. This is what the Bible says, and this is what you can, or how you can know that Jesus is the one. Jesus is saying to John, judge me according to what the scriptures say. So church, here you go. How will we recognize the Messiah? Number one, Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. When he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unstop or unplug the ears of the deaf, and the lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will shout and sing. Okay, whoever the Messiah is, whoever's right, whoever has the right message, this is one of the fulfillments that he must perform. He's got to do these miracles recorded in Isaiah 35. Question, did Jesus do that? Yes, he did. And he's telling these guys, go tell John. Thank John. Listen, church, grab this. Grab this. Regarding doubt, use your head. Don't use your emotions because they're going to rip you off every time. John was feeling lost and abandoned because things weren't happening his way. He didn't understand. He didn't have 2,000 years of Bible study like you and I have. Where are you, Jesus? Come on. Set at liberty those that are captive. I'm in prison. The code answer is, what do you hear and what do you see? The gospel is preached, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking. John, what does your Bible say? Church, listen. Susie, Betty, Karen, Mike, what does your Bible say? What does your Bible answer the situation you're in right now? What does it say? That's what you go with. Yeah, but Jack, I just feel totally alone. You're not alone. Yeah, but you know what? Stop saying, yeah, but. What does the word say? Number two, under this point, Isaiah 29:18 says, in that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book. That is the Bible. And the eyes of the blind shall see, and out of obscurity and out of darkness, they shall behold. That was happening. John, what's going on? You know your Bible. John, judge me according to the Bible. Church, judge Jesus according to the Bible. Judge Joseph Smith according to the Bible. Judge Pastor Jack according to the Bible. Judge, you name them, according to the Bible. Judge Sun Young Moon according to the Bible. Let the word of Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 11, Don't judge me based upon what I might do. Judge what I say against the Bible to see if it's true. Acts 17:11. This is very critical to slaying doubt in our lives. And then Isaiah 61, which was the actually opening verse of Jesus' ministry. Isaiah 61 is another proof of the Messiahship. Whoever it is, the Spirit of the Lord God has to be upon him, because it says the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Jesus did that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's still doing that. To proclaim the liberty to the captives and opening the prison of those who are bound. The gospel message. What does the evidence say, John, about me? Number two in our study, why do we struggle with doubt? Because doubt won't disappoint. Now, can you write that down? I should have put a little asterisk up there or something. Because doubt won't disappoint, that's a sarcasm. I'm being sarcastic with you right now. See, doubt, in fact, the other day, I had to go get new house keys made for the house, keys. And I haven't had keys made for a house in a long time. And when you go now, you can have a gold key, you can have a silver key or whatever, you know, kind. You can have a black key, you can have a green key. Well, now they have Disney keys. And so I looked at that and I thought, well, my girls, they love Disneyland and Rebecca loves Winnie the Pooh and they got a Winnie the Pooh key. So I got her a Winnie the Pooh key. And Ashley likes Minnie Mouse, so she got a Minnie Mouse key. And Lisa likes the Minnie Mouse, she got a Minnie Mouse key. And I got my own key. And I thought, you know what? Pooh is really cool, but they didn't have a Tigger key. I would have gotten a Tigger key. But I thought, on Sunday, I'm one way, and on Monday, I'm another way. On Monday, I'm more like Tigger. It's my day off. And I'm very bouncy, 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 fun, 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 fun. But on Sundays, I can be very Eeyore-like. And they had an Eeyore key. And so when I look at that, it kind of makes me laugh because I shouldn't be like an Eeyore from time to time. But then I thought, all of us struggle with being like an Eeyore from time to time. And the reason why, it hit me, because doubt won't disappoint. You know what? If we're doubting, how many of you have seen The Adventures of Winnie the Pooh? Raise your hand. The rest of you need to get saved and watch it. Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet and all those guys, they're trying to say, oh boy, let's go. We're going to have fun today. And there's Eeyore. I doubt it. It's going to rain. There's no hope for us. We're probably going to die. He's just a bummer. Nobody wants to be around him. Everybody puts up with him. Why do we put up with doubt? You know what? Doubt has a very sick, twisted, perverse comfort to it, but the comfort is empty and vain. Doubt never disappoints. You want to know why? Because doubt doesn't expect anything to happen. Christian, with your argument and struggle with doubt, you need to get it out of your life with the Word of God, because you know what? You'll start to comfort doubt in your life and let it reside there. And this is what will happen. Because doubt will never disappoint, here's the reason why. What it does is it justifies everything. Doubt just justifies everything. Well, a lot of people do it. I'll never be different. That won't happen in my life. And you begin to think like that until you begin to live like that. You say things like, someone else can do this better. When the church has a need, like Family Fest coming up, you're thinking, well, the person next to me, they'll probably buy all the candy. They'll buy the 4 tons of candy that we need. Did you know the person sitting next to you that you think's thinking that thought is thinking about the person next to them thinking that thought? Until the thought starts over here and goes all the way over here and we have no candy on October 30th. Did you know that's what happens? It's absolutely true. We say, sign up and show up or come to this or do that. And you're thinking, don't tell me you're not thinking this because I think the same thing. You know what? They don't need me. Did you hear that? You hear how common that is? You know what? Oh, I bet so many people are going to show up for that. I don't need to come. You have begun to let doubt reside in your life. You've justified it, and now it's just part of your living. And you don't even recognize it. This is a dangerous thing, because if you leave that alone, it will lead eventually to unbelief. That's a very serious issue. Now, why do we struggle with doubt? Because doubt won't disappoint. And the truth of the matter is, boy, I don't know how to say this gently. I've known too many Christians. Lisa and I have known too many Christians in our lives. When I say Christians, I have to say, quote, Christians. They look just like you and I for years, you guys. And because something came into their life and they got disappointed, you know what they did? They threw down their toys. It didn't go their way. They threw it down. They stuck out their chin. And they said, you know what? I'm out of here. Oh, I don't mean here. And I don't mean there. I don't mean anywhere. They say to God, you know what? I really thought that she was the one. I thought we were going to get married. I even told my friends. I wanted her. And now she's gone. We're not going to get married. I'm out of here. You know what? When difficulties arise, Jesus said, beware. When difficulties come and trials come, watch out. Because when Jesus talked about the sower and the seed casting the word out into the hearts of people, the Bible tells us, by the way, in Matthew 13, you can read it later. I'll paraphrase it, verses 18 to 23. Jesus warned about that. He said that there'll be those who receive the word, but it doesn't do anything. And then there are those who receive the word and they continue for a while. We don't know what that means, by the way. The word a while. Did you know that? There's theologians still sitting right now in towers trying to figure out, what does that word mean? We don't know what it means. Nobody knows. Does it mean 3 weeks? They'll hear the Bible. They'll come forward. They'll come at the crusade, or they'll come at the outreach, or they'll come to church. They'll make a profession of faith, and they continue for a while. The thing is, we don't know how long that means. Does it mean 3 weeks, 3 years, 30 years? Does it mean 100 years? What, we don't know. But whatever happens, we know. It says, but in time, they become disappointed or discouraged when persecution or difficulties arise. And they turn away from God. And what they wind up saying is, Jesus, you didn't do it the way I wanted. And you give up on God. You walk out on God. It didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. And you get disappointed. And then, listen, you start thinking, well, that's it. And you'll claim to know God, but you're living your life punishing God. And I got news for you. You're not punishing him. You're ruining your life. And if you let that doubt continue on in that bitterness, you will wind up being filled with unbelief. And you will wind up being a statistic. One who was around the things of God, but you were never born again. You were religious, but in the end, you had no relationship with God. Watch out. I've seen this happen too many times. Church, listen, wake up. That's why you and I have trials and difficulties in life. Listen, isn't God good? You say, well, that's why I'm not a Christian. I don't want trials and difficulties. No. Read the fine print. First of all, everyone has difficulties, trials in life. Here's the thing. If you're a non-Christian, those difficulties, God is trying to use them to draw you to God. Okay, did your house burn down this week? God's trying to get you to come to Christ. Well, what'd he do that for? He didn't do it, but he'll use it. Is something going on in your life? As a non-Christian, God is trying to get you to know Jesus. But what if you are a Christian? Then why did this happen and why did that happen? Well, wait a minute. When I ask, I can't speak for you, but when I ask God why, when I say things like this, why God? I mean, come on. If I were you, I wouldn't have done that. Do you think he goes, you know what? You got a good point there, Jack. I'm sorry. Let's rewind and we'll do it your way. Do you know that would be utter destruction? Complete disaster. But when I say, oh, why? I say that because I'm disappointed. It's not going my way. You guys, it's not about me. Oh, don't look at me like that. It's not about you either. It's about him. It's all about him. And we cannot be the people who say, I will pick and choose this type of living, this type of scripture. I'll believe in this book of the Bible, but not the other book of the Bible. I'll love Isaiah, but I'm not going to read that Joel book we're doing on Wednesday nights. Too much. That's scary. You can't do that. I mean, you can do it, but you'll just be filled with doubt and then unbelief. This is a serious issue. When difficulties come in the life of the believer, we see the power of God comfort our hearts, the word of God comfort our soul, and faith is expelled, or I should say faith is infused, and doubt is pushed away. It's vital. See, doubt is never disappointed because it never ventures out. It never expects anything. It can never think big. It can never think beyond itself. Doubt ventures nowhere. It draws the shade, so to speak. It keeps the door locked. It's a tragedy. Jesus said in verse 23, look at it carefully. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You know what that word in Greek is? You know it. Scandalizo. scandal in English. To be scandalized. The word scandalized in the Greek means one who gets tripped up, one who falls away because of me. Jesus says, happy is the man that doesn't fall away because of me. Do you know what he's saying? This is a massive statement of authority. Happy in the end is going to be the one who follows me regardless of how they feel and what they think about themselves, but they follow me still. Church, listen, will you make it to the end? That's my job, to plead with you, point you, give you the Bible, pray for you, that you make it to the end. That's what I'm living for, to get you to the end. Jesus said, happy is the guy that makes it to the end who's not scandalized because of me. I said this last service, and a young man about 25 years of age came up into the foyer, shook my hand, and just started crying. And he said, thank you for today, because tomorrow I go back to my job where they eat me alive for being a Christian. Friday night, I met with your junior hires in a home Bible study, and I had a blast with those kids. Because you know what? I talked to them like the world's going to talk to them in a few years. I talked to them, and I said, listen, let's pretend for a moment. And I mean, I set them up royally. I said, you remember this word, you remember that word, you remember this word. Now here we go, guys. And I got into the center of the room, and I talked to them like a junior college or a university professor is going to talk to them someday. You say, well, Jack, they're only junior high. You know what? There are unbelieving high school teachers that are looking for Christians in their class. And man, and first day, don't write me later. You're wrong. I'm telling you right now, I hear it too often. I know that there are teachers that are so anti-God that they can't wait for the first day of school for them to, and they do it very sneaky. Hey, I want to hear about you. Welcome to the first day of school. And what's your name? Mike. Mike, and what are you into? Oh, that's great. Water skiing? That's great. Susie, and you are? Yeah, and you? Okay, that's great. Gymnastics, wonderful. Bill, how about you? Yeah. Oh, and you're a Christian. Oh, isn't that great? We have a Christian in the class. That's great. Well, before we go any further, have you seen what's going on in the news today? Well, I'm wondering how you believe that God, your God loves. Can you explain that about your God of love? You guys, universities eat Christians alive because they go tiptoeing into school like they're going to roll open a red carpet. They eat Christians alive who don't know the word, and they begin to put doubt into their heads. And then you've got kids sitting in the corner in the fetal position, sucking their thumb, wondering what happened in the years that I went to church. They were not prepared. And I told those kids, you know what? You need to be able to answer. And we got down to answers. I played the bad guy. And I got to tell you, your junior high kids are taught well. Thank God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, my friends, as we are now just as it were hours, days into the new year, let's just make sure we do what I'm about to do with you for the entire year ahead, okay? And it's this. Lord, your Bible tells us in Psalm 65:11, that you crown the year with your goodness and all of your paths drip with abundance. So, Father, we ask you now that you would bless every husband, every wife in their relationship together, every son and daughter. We pray that you'd bless grandparents, extended family. God, that you might pour out upon this nation a revival in the Word of God among your people. And if that happens, there'll be an awakening among the lost in this world and in this country. So God, we pray, we ask you to use us this year as we dedicate ourselves to you in every way. Lord, we want to leave certain things behind us, never to have them picked up again. And we want to grab on to certain things, Lord, that we never want to let go of as we move forward in you this new year. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people out there said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.